Peter.
Hello there. How are you?
Hey, good, 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 good. How's things in Peter Lynham land?
Very interesting. I know of a brewing story which I can't talk about to you yet this week, but I think be on our
This reeks of scandal.
Week.
This reeks
yeah, that's
of
right.
scandal.
Yes, it could be interesting.
Oh, is it local scandal or international scandal?
Local.
Am I going to see Peter Lynham on the news again?
No.
I do like that. It's always a fabulous occasion when I see old mate on the news.
We mean not personally the story themselves, but commenting on the story, Peter.
You're the religious expert.
Yes.
Well, you are a religious expert anyway.
Yes.
And what's on the agenda this week?
Oh, this is a very interesting story where there's been a bit on the news in the course of the day about a potential church and state conflict in Samoa,
okay,
where the Congregational Church is refusing to allow its to advise its ministers to pay tax.
Oh.
So ministers can get as many donations as they like, pay themselves whatever salary they want, but not pay any tax on it?
Yes, they don't have to declare their income received through donations.
So everyone's trying to be a minister?
A tax haven. Mm. It's seen in Samoa as part of the special relationship between Samoa and God,
okay,
that ministers should be exempt from taxation. So
right.
It's not the institution of the churches. They continue to be exempt from paying tax, mm-hmm, but these are the actual ministers themselves.
And I guess it's important to remember that places like Samoa, the church is still massively regarded, isn't it, in the community?
That's right. Of course, there are a very wide range of churches in Samoa, and it's only, so far as I can see, the Congregational Church of Samoa, which is by far the largest,
okay,
and the original First Church that's taking the stance. Most of the other smaller churches, the Methodists, the Latter-day Saints, the like, have agreed to comply with the law. The law was changed about 12 months ago.
Okay.
So they've had plenty of time to consider it, and they've restated over the last week their determination to defy the law, and it raises a very interesting constitutional issue, actually.
How the law aligns with beliefs.
Well, will they coerce? Because effectively, so far as one can see, the penalties for breaches like this really is pretty serious. You know, there's fines, potentially imprisonment if you refuse to comply. But I think it would be a very astonishing step for the Samoan government to take the principal church and arrest and charge and fine and potentially imprison the ministers, who are in many ways more important than the minister of the crown, the minister of religion.
It would be quite a scene, wouldn't it, if that happened?
Be dramatic.
They're probably all mates, and you know.
Of course. And yes, what was that question?
I'm just thinking, would the general public, would it turn into a bit of a public relations drama for the church? Because wouldn't the ministers be seen as some of the more well-heeled members of the community, and they're not paying their dues, you know, they're not putting anything toward local, you know, infrastructure or upkeep through taxes, you know, why are they exempt when they're probably earning the most out of anyone in the community?
Because they're the closest to God, John.
And yeah, and there you speak as a New Zealander, and that would be the attitude in New Zealand that would be very widely held. And it is totally true that the Samoan ministers receive effectively on every occasion when you meet the minister, you're expected to bring a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And churches back in New Zealand send gifts back to Samoa, to individual ministers as well as to churches. Huge deals have made of the generous donations of money. It is thought that probably Samoan ministers of religion are among the wealthiest people in society. They often flaunt their wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, they are in a sense like Matai. They are principal powerful figures in the community, and it's a little bit like, although in the British tradition, royalty does pay taxes, but the Crown doesn't pay taxes. And so it's a bit as though they are above the law in some sense. And they're wishing to retain that. It's interesting that at the same law has required the head of state, who was Matai, of Matai status, to pay tax as well. And he's, of course, going to comply. He signed the law that brought it into effect. But right. I think it's a very hard issue to read how the congregational ministers, you know, they continue to defy, what will the government do? Because in a struggle of power, I think probably at least this time round, the ministers, the congregational ministers, will win.
Okay. Even though some of the other churches and leaders of church have said that they will comply with the law.
Yes, because it's simply just that their status is so high in the society. They're exceedingly used to being treated as privileged and special people. And it's as though they are beyond being challenged at the moment. Mm. Now, of course, the consequence long-term will be very serious for the church, because if the church does defy the law, it will lose reputation gradually. Because many, many Samoans, certainly back in New Zealand, are quite critical of the ways in which the ministers live in such fabulous luxury, though they continue to give gifts to them often. Mm. There's a strange paradox in this. But I think we have a major constitutional crisis coming in Samoa.
Far out. Okay.
Very interesting, very interesting. Well, thank you very much, Peter. We shall look forward to following this issue and also your breaking news, which might be public by next week.
It could be. Okay.
Don't want to tell us what that is now? Just get it off your chest?
No, certainly not.
Okay, mate. Hey, thanks, mate. Catch you next week.
All good. Bye.
You can't blame me for trying.
Total cliffhanger. That's the spirit. To be